The reading this morning is taken from page 975 in the Blue Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 to 33. That's Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 to 33. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray, we ask that you would speak your words to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits today. I pray that you would be at work, Lord, to remove the things that are not what you want to say from our memories and to plant more deeply the things that you are really saying to us today. So do your work in our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit to create your understanding and your truth for us today. Amen. I wonder how you feel when something bad happens. What's the first thing that kind of hits you when something doesn't go right? Mostly we think, well, why has this happened? Maybe it's just me. I'm sure it's more than just me. Why has this happened? This isn't fair. What's going on here? When difficult things happen, we question them. But also what happens is that there's something inside of us, particularly as Christians, those people who follow God and believe God is a loving, caring Father, that when something bad happens, when something difficult or painful or just not according to the plan, when something goes awry, our first thought is, well, why has God allowed that to happen? Where is God in the midst of my struggle, pain, difficulty, lack of clarity, whatever it is? And that's really what this passage is about and what we're thinking about reflecting on today and throughout this half term. It's that feeling of where is God? What is God saying in the midst of this difficulty? And really what's happening here is that Jesus is speaking into it his truth about what we need to hold on to in our hearts when things go wrong. So, New Year's Day, clearly a significant day, Leslie. Leslie gets a murmuration of starlings. I got a filling falling out. You know, one of those things, Christmas, you get given lots of sweets, don't you? I shouldn't have been eating them. I had a toffee. I shouldn't eat toffees. For lots of reasons, I shouldn't eat toffees. But it was like God just went, ha ha. I sucked on this toffee and out popped a filling. Thankfully, it wasn't painful. It wasn't difficult. It was just that really annoying thought of, now I'm going to have to pay to have another filling. And so on the Thursday, I was thinking, oh, I must get round to looking in my diary, seeing when my next dentist appointment is, or ringing up and making an emergency appointment, and whatever that is. And so in the middle of that, it's a petty, it's a tiny little thing, isn't it? It's a number of hairs on your head kind of thing. You really don't need to know. Anybody here know the number of hairs on their own head? No, of course we don't know. A lot. A lot. Well, for some of us it's easier to count than others, yes. But we don't really need to know. It's a superfluous detail, isn't it? And somehow in the midst of this, kind of like that Thursday when I was like, looking after the kids because it was still the school holidays, kind of busy with other bits and pieces, I didn't get around to it. And about lunchtime-ish, I got a phone call, and it was from the dentist. And the dentist secretary said, you'll check up next week. The dentist can't make the time that she's got with you. Is there any chance you could see her tomorrow? I was like, how is it that God, in the midst of this tiny little, it wasn't really painful, it was annoying, but it wasn't really painful, but it was just that sense of God saying to me, this petty little detail of your life, I know about it, and I'm going to show you my faithfulness in it, to bring even the dentist appointment you didn't know was next week, forwards, so that you can get seen more quickly. And I now have a new filling. Thank you, Jesus. Tit, you can keep your toffee to yourself, but thank you. We often find that in those moments of feeling, why has God allowed this to happen? That actually what we need to hold on to, whether or not God gets the dentist to ring us up and rebook an appointment, what we need to hold on to is the truth that there is in that experience. God cares about each and every aspect of our lives. He knows about even the smallest detail of what you are going through this week, this year, whatever that means for you. He knows about it. He cares about it. It is not meaningless or too small for him to know. And whether we see answers to prayer or whether we see God moving miraculously or not, the simple truth that he knows about it, he loves us and is with us in it, is the thing that helps us to keep going. We as a church are beginning our new year with that sense, not only about seeking God for this year's priorities, but seeking God for the things that are really on his heart for the longer term future as well. And so we're having this week of prayer and fasting. You'll see a much skinnier no toffee joy next week, I'm sure. or not, because TV won't stop me from eating. But as we face that, for some of us, a season of change is unsettling and frightening. For some of us, there is that feeling of, well, where is God? Why is God allowing this to happen? For some of us, there is grief that the people we love are moving on. Those are all legitimate and important emotions. And we bring them before God, trusting that he knows about them and is with us in them. It's reasonable and it's understandable to be fearful in this time of uncertainty about the future. And it might be okay for us to wrestle with that question, why has God allowed these important things to us as a church to be taken away? And yet somehow we need to hear Jesus' words to us in the midst of whatever emotions we feel about the uncertainty ahead of us. Jesus wanted his disciples then and now to know that we can draw near to him so that he can speak his perfect love into every circumstance of our lives. Because his perfect love for us, his knowledge of the number of hairs on our head, his knowledge of every situation we face, and his love for us enables us to get rid of the fear that we might feel when we face those things. Let's look at the passage in a bit more detail to see how Jesus means and explains this. So, Matthew 10, the whole chapter. It was really difficult to choose where to start the passage. We could have had the whole chapter, really. But it's about Jesus sending his disciples out. He's sending them into unknown circumstances. He's sending them to preach his good news to people in towns and villages all around Galilee and further afield. He's sending them with good news to bring, but with a warning. He warns his disciples, his followers, that things that they will face will be hard and possibly painful. If you look back early in the chapter to verse 16, he says this, "I am sending you like sheep among the wolves, and therefore you need to be shrewd like snakes, but you also need to be as innocent as doves. Be on your guard in these unknown circumstances, because you will be handed over to local councils. You will be flogged in their synagogues. And on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. When they arrest you, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. At the time, you will be given exactly what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Now, I don't know whether his disciples were encouraged or more frightened by those words. I think if it was me, I'd have been like, I'm having second thoughts here. And it's almost like Jesus sending them out. And this was just to Galilee, to the Jews. And yet somehow he's speaking here about the longer term, the bigger picture as well. On my account, you're going to stand before governors and kings. You will be my witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Jesus is speaking about the ministry of Paul, who hasn't even yet been Saul at the Jerusalem watching the coats while they stoned Stephen. There is that sense in which Jesus is sending his disciples into unknown circumstances that should make them very, very fearful. But he's speaking these things truthfully to tell them to be prepared. But then he goes on, doesn't he? Verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. The very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." It is the Father's love for them, the Father's knowledge of them, presence with them, his desire that they would know how loved, valuable, and precious they are, that will be their greatest defense against the fear of what hardships are to come. Jesus tells his followers to take courage. Their Heavenly Father is with them. The Heavenly Father will give them the words that they need to speak. Their firm identity as God's beloved children is the very thing that will give them confidence. Confidence of his love for them, enabling them to walk fearlessly into the path ahead. And so for us, whatever things we are facing, whatever difficulties or painful things make us feel like, well, does God even care about what I'm going through? That same knowledge of God's love, of his understanding, of his attention to detail, that is the thing that we hold on to in the midst of it. When I was thinking about this and preparing, I was just wondering why? Why does God? Why does he have such attention to detail? Why does he care about how many hairs there are on my head? Why does he take interest in these things? Well, it's because he is the very best dad. What good father doesn't know what their child's favorite food is? What good father doesn't know what their child wants for Christmas? What good father wouldn't pay attention to the details of their children's lives because they love them? And it's that good fathering which enables children to grow up feeling that their life is safe, that they themselves are understood and known and nurtured and encouraged to be themselves. It is that good parenting love which equips children to be confident in their lives, to know who they are and be able to live that way. It is that loving parenting that enables children to try new things, to go on an adventure, to have a go at something they've never tried before, to test out their abilities in radical ways. Because good fathers' love has the impact to give children confidence and self-worth and the ability to step into unknown things. If this is the impact that a good human father can have on their children, how much more can the impact of the love of our eternal Heavenly Father, who is able to be with us in every circumstance, how much more can that love impact us to be brave and to step out as He leads us? So whatever things are frightening for you, whatever uncertainty is difficult or painful, whatever sense of things being new and uncertain, take courage from who your Heavenly Father says you are, His beloved child, and allow Him to do that loving parenting thing of creating and growing more confidence in you so that you can be more who He made you to be. The second thing I think we learn from this passage is about where we find our self-worth and our value. We live in a world of supersized significance, of celebrities and the important people. It's all over the media, isn't it? Social media and other forms of media. All the people we aspire to be like because we see them airbrushed on magazine covers or billboards or TV. We live in a world where millions of hits, likes, followers, retweets, ratings, Oscars, number ones, pounds, dollars, other things. Those are the things that we're looking towards. Those are the things which everything about the world we live in says are significance. Even in our working environments, there is often a push, such a push, for promotion or reward-based favoritism, trendiness, nepotism, that our working lives can be a place where our significance is based on what we can achieve or what recognition we get from others. And in this world, it is very easy to feel devalued because we don't have what everybody else appears to have, or what we feel or we think or we believe because we've seen it all around us, is what we're supposed to have. Humanly speaking, the world says our value has to be earned, and that the process of earning it seems incredibly unfair, short-lived, and unattainable for the vast majority of people. Can often be that fear about not having significance makes people in our world do damaging things. Whether that be turning to addictions to fill that sense of insignificance in us, or using relationships or sex or other things to keep our sense of being secure. If we listen to the world, then we will feel insignificant and chase after the things that cannot genuinely give us meaning or self-worth in a lasting or healthy way. Jesus' words here remind us quite simply that our significance and self-worth is only in our relationship with God. Every other relationship, every other achievement, every other detail of our lives is temporary. nothing else can give us eternal significance or meaning or purpose. Jesus points us to the one thing that can. To know who God has made us to be and how much he loves us, so that our sense of our value, our self-worth, comes from him. Jesus makes this clear by dying on the cross for you and me. He says that we are worth so much that he is willing, prepared, and has already died for us, given his life for us. He says that we are worth it. He loves us so much that he gave himself unto death so that we would know what we are worth. And we'd be able to receive from God the fullness of his value. And so let's remember, all other things, all earthly things, money, fame, achievement, relationships, none of these things can give us the true self-worth which lasts forever. God has already declared us his precious children, whom he loves, whom he knows the hairs on our head, and for whom he gave his only son unto death. We are that precious and important to him. The third thing is that this is a theme which is repeated. Jesus talks about this here, he talks about it elsewhere, earlier in Matthew. He says similar things. Because repetition increases the truth and the meaning and the significance of whatever it is that we're saying. If our hearts repeatedly tell us that we don't matter, that we won't make it, or if fear repeatedly makes us believe that everything will go wrong and be a disaster, if we repeat those things in our hearts, minds, or out loud, then we will increase the likelihood of that happening. The sports star who listens to the fear that he or she is going to miss the goal, throw a bad shot, never beat the other person's time, or fall during their performance. Those are the sports stars who won't ever achieve what they are actually capable of, because the fear and the repetition of that fear will prevent them from actually doing it. Similarly, if we repeatedly listen to the inner voice that says that we don't matter, that we are not important, that we are insignificant, if we allow the world's view of our value to be repeated in our hearts or minds, then we will come to believe that that is the truth about how important, how precious we are. Because repetition increases the depth and the meaning and the belief of things. Jesus is saying here and repeatedly saying, you are important to God. Just like Carol said earlier in What's God Been Doing, the God of the universe, who is so enormous that this one star takes 35 years to leave its solar system. The God who is so huge that he made all of this. The God who is just so much bigger than we can even imagine, knows and cares about you. That truth, if you repeat it in your heart and in your mind, will begin to increase and deepen and cause you to actually believe it. We are also called as church to affirm these truths over one another. Because it's hard As human beings, we don't believe that, do we? We can have 100 nice things said about us, but one bad thing will stay in our mind more than the other 100 things. And so we need each other to repeatedly affirm God's truth, God's value, God's love and knowledge and presence and peace with each one of us. When we repeatedly, and even if we have to say the same things over and over and over again, don't we do that with our children? Or the parents in the room are kind of looking weary. We are the same as children. We need the repetition of our Father's love for us. And that's one of the things we do as a church family. Whether it's Barnabusting, if you're Christy, if she hasn't done that to you yet, please ask her to, it's amazing. Or whether it's just simply encouraging one another in the journey. As we speak God's significance over one another, we will begin to believe it and live out of that truth. Whether it's sharing a small encouragement, like a filling being refilled earlier than it might have been, in what's God been doing, or in other ways, on Facebook. I love, like Maha is amazing at just posting words of scripture on Facebook pretty much every day. Maha, I love that. That really blesses me. I don't think I've ever said that to you. It really blesses me. Thank you. And God uses you really powerfully, even in those simple posts. God is at work to bring his love and his good news to lots of people through you. Please keep doing it. You're awesome. The more we speak that over one another, the more we declare how much God values us and each other, the more we will see our church rising up in that belief that we might be a small church, but we are significant to him. We might be people just living ordinary lives, but he says we are significant in his kingdom. As we begin to believe that truth about who we are more and more, we will become confident and fearless to walk the path that he puts ahead of us, wherever it leads. So I just want to end by encouraging you to think about who you are listening to and what you are speaking over others. Who are you listening to and what are you speaking over others? Can I encourage you this week, as you, in whatever way you can, make time to listen to God for our life as a church, to listen to what he's saying about his significance for you. Listen repeatedly. Let God say the same things again and again and again, because clearly I need to hear it and you need to hear it. He loves you. He knows you. And he has good plans and good purposes for you. So here are the truths I believe God is saying that he wants you to hear today and this week as you listen to him. You are a beloved child of the Heavenly Father. He has put his Holy Spirit in you to give you gifts and wisdom, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the number of fillings in your mouth. He knows what is troubling you. He knows what is painful. He knows what your hopes and your fears are, and he is with you in them. You are so valuable and precious to God that he gave his son unto death for you. He chose you, he called you, and he has equipped you to change the world. You are a warrior. You are able to do incredible things because he is with you. You are important. Let's pray. Loving Father, help me to hear more of your truth. Help me to hear repeatedly how much you say I am worth. Father, help me to step away from the voice of fear and insignificance. Show me the emptiness that the value of the world has placed on me, and remove the stains of its judgment which are left on my heart. Thank you that you know the number of hairs on my head. Thank you that you created me with such attention to my details. Give me ears that will hear your voice repeatedly speaking love and hope over me. And grow in me your confidence, that I might speak your love and hope over others that you have put in my life and my church family. Grow in me the confidence to trust you and your leading, so that as I believe your truth about who I am and what I am worth, I will also see you changing the world through me.